Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Welcome in to Players Only with Chiefs Radio Network color analyst Danan Hughes.
Excellent throw and catch, just gets inside, uses his big body. No answer for number 87.
And former NFL linebacker Joe Mays.
Mays missed him first. And in typical North Dakota State toughness, Mays got up and stayed with it and got Newton from behind.
Check this out. Players Only, presented by U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit.
What's going on, Kansas City? Chiefs Kingdom, Players Only. We are back like every Thursday. Well, we wouldn't have been back today if the Chiefs would have played today, but we'll get back to that a little later. This is Players Only, and we got my partner Joe Mays in the building.
What's happening?
Former linebacker with the Chiefs. This guy, Sean Barber, keeps figuring out a way to get in the studio when we have our show.
Hey, he got on a denim jacket today.
Yeah, man, got this denim jacket,
and that's dress up for him.
Yeah,
up. Rocking the time. My man Andy Reid showed me the light, man. Tommy Bahama's the way to go.
You don't have no flowers on it or anything, no.
It's on the inside, man.
Oh, it's coordinate. It's one of them.
You gotta coordinate.
The inside, bro.
That's Sean Barber, former linebacker with the Kansas City Chiefs, and I am Danan Hughes, former wide receiver, the only sane mind on this panel.
Wow.
Offensive guy.
Wow.
But, yeah, these guys, defense, you know, they represent too, so we got to have them. Anyway, guys, okay, we're in Players Only.
Yep.
There's some words. There's a lot going on. You know, we'll talk about Le'Veon Bell and this Chiefs team, but there's one statement that I have to open the show up that I would have never, ever, ever thought I would say. Players Only coming to you the week after losing to the Raiders at home.
Yeah.
Like, those words would have never, ever come to my mind that I would ever have to say in life on this show.
Talk about a smack in the face.
It was, yeah, man.
I mean, you kind of expecting it. You kind of expect for the Raiders to come in and play hard. I mean, it's a rivalry game.
Yeah.
That's expected. But to actually lose? That's totally different. And it's a huge smack. But, you know, it's not going to set us back.
Yep. Well, as we get in the first quarter of this show, we'll get Barbershop's mindset from the game. He does the Chiefs pregame show, also Chiefs Rewind each week, home or away games. Got to check them out. But our first quarter is sponsored by our friends at U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit. Barbershop. Did you lose to the Raiders? I mean, like, What's your perspective of this last game?
I kept looking back at myself. I don't even realize who I lost to and who I didn't. I keep trying to tell you about this growth mindset, this process over product. You don't lose, you win or you learn. So yeah, I took a lot of lessons. I had a lot of times
learning.
Where
oh, yeah.
you should be the smartest cat in this room.
did you hear him kick some knowledge? Yeah, that was real knowledge.
I've gained a lot. I've got a wisdom and knowledge. A lot of lessons learned, but losing that's just not you know like. Yeah, that's not part of my vocabulary.
It's not an option.
No. It was never an option because losing to me is a state of giving up or not putting your best effort for, not being prepared. I think the team was prepared. Mm-hmm. I think the guys showed great effort. The one thing I think did happen out there on that field, I think there were some communication errors.
Yep.
I think of some alignment assignment errors, and those things just were highlighted. And the Raiders take the hat off to them. They took advantage of it. And every time they took advantage of it, it was for six. It was downtown. Yeah. It was mm-hmm. big plays. I think we gave up five plays of over 20 yards. That yep. was, I mean, for a team that's been together, like this team defense has been together, it was those big gashing, big chunk plays that really surprised me. But then I realized when I look at the schedule, you know, the Raiders were about to enter a bye week. And we know as players, when you got that bye week and the coach dangles that carrot, hey, you win this game, I'm giving y'all that
extra
bye week. If you lose it, we practicing every day.
Yeah.
That brings a little bit different fire, right? That desire, that attitude comes to the table.
Yep.
And I think they did have, when you talk about the energy and attitude, the Raiders had that box checked when it came to the game this past Sunday.
Yeah, I will say, you know, this was like their Super Bowl. They get the little stepbrothers that get beat up by the older brother all the time. I mean, I don't remember how many times I won or lost against the Broncos. I don't remember how many times I won or lost against the Chargers. And back then, we played the Seahawks that was in the AFC West. I don't remember how many times I won or lost. But I do know I was 11-1 versus the Raiders.
Really?
And for some reason, that's the one matchup. Maybe it was because of Marty Schottenheimer and he hated the Raiders, but that was the one matchup that seemed to be targeted. Besides the bye week, like we always do as players, you get the schedule coming out in May. You look, okay, where's about bye week?
Mm-hmm.
How many Monday night games, Sunday night, Thursday night games we got? Okay, then where we play the Raiders? When do we play the Raiders and where? And so, yeah, it was definitely more personal to me as far as a rivalry. But even going back to this game, I thought it was like their Super Bowl. And we didn't give them a shot or at least an extended amount of time to recognize that we were the big brothers mm-hmm. in that game. You know, I mean, and I'll give credit to John Gruden. He's got those guys coached up much better this year, more disciplined than we've seen them in the past.
Yeah.
They don't make as many mistakes as they used to, but those mistakes in the past usually came because they was ready to give up.
Yeah.
They were getting beat. They recognized they were getting beat, and they were ready to give up. And Derek Carr, he barely got touched in the game, didn't tee off on him. We didn't have much heat in his face to disturb him. He got way too comfortable. And you guys, I don't know. I know you're a Bison, so you guys are used to winning a lot of football in college. He's a Spider. I'm sure that was 50-50, you know, on wins and losses. Oh, I shouldn't say losses. That's when you learn that whole mindset.
Wins and learns.
As a Spider, I can understand.
Thank you.
And then I'm a Hawkeye, so we wasn't really used to losing very much at all. But there's something about when you look up at the scoreboard and you're going into halftime and you may have come into the game hoping and wishing that you could win this game
mm-hmm.
and recognizing you're playing the Super Bowl, defending Super Bowl champs and how great this team is, Super Bowl MVP, all this good stuff. And you look up at the scoreboard and like, oh, it's tied.
Yeah.
We in this game. And I remember we played the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving. And I remember Mark Collins, who obviously played the Dallas Cowboys two times a year, most times every year when he was with the Giants. We came in at halftime. I think there were some people in the locker room that was kind of like, whoa, like we're in this game, like surprised.
Yeah.
And he came in. He's like, hey, now y'all can wake up. Y'all belong on this field too. And that kind of, you know, jolted me when I was watching this, when I was calling this game from the booth, me and Mitch, that I was like, these guys – we gave them an opportunity to believe they belonged on the field with this Chiefs team, and they went and they snatched it in the second half. So, and I mean, so what do you do? This was a time, I think it's a wake-up call. I'm not saying it's a moral victory or anything like that. I think mm-hmm. it's a wake-up call that some of the things we were able to get away with and win games in the first 4 weeks, we couldn't get away with in this game. 10 penalties, I want to say that we had a stat that our average third down was 3rd and 9 or 3rd and 10. You can't win putting your back up against the wall like that. And but I think it's a learning experience, and these guys were jolted back to reality about the business at hand and just recognizing, regardless of what the people in Vegas say, every single week on any given Sunday, any given Monday, you can be beat by anybody in the league.
Absolutely.
And that shows you. Now, the Raiders are going to be a solid team. I don't think they'll be a playoff team, but they'll be a solid team.
I mean, you know what? I think when you watch that game and you watch the games, like the two or three games previous to this one, you just kind of realized that something was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think ever since the Chargers came and played us just as well as anyone has played us within the last couple of years, as far as defensively and being able to only rush four guys and put so much pressure on our offense. And you got to think, every single team after that, they watch a film, they watching, how can we get out the, how can we affect this offense? Because Patrick Mahomes, he's shown, I mean, you know, he's the best player in the NFL, bar none. But how can we stop him? How can we slow him down? Every single thing that teams have previously come up with, it hasn't worked. He's thrown for 300 some yards. He's made the plays with his legs. How can we affect him as much as anyone has affected him before and kind of throw this offense off? And the simple answer was rushing four.
Yeah, they rushed three men and four men. They lined five men at the line of scrimmage. Yeah. Sometimes they rushed three and they spied one. Sometimes they rushed four and they spied one. And that one was right in the middle of the field. It was Littleton. It was either him or Kwiatkowski that was in the middle of the field, basically 5-10 yards away from the line of scrimmage, right in the middle of the field, mirroring wherever Patrick Mahomes went.
Yep.
And that took away your middle routes. It took away some of your short spot routes that you would usually run Sammy on, or you see Travis run a little 8-yard hitch. It took a little bit of that away because he just stood right in the middle. And part of the reason why he felt comfortable, or that defense felt comfortable employing that, is because our guys on the outside weren't really doing a good enough job getting open and creating easier throws and separation. I thought Patrick got a little antsy, and he even talks about it. He said, maybe I escaped the pocket early a little bit too often. I need to be more stout in the pocket, because once he flushes, now – he threw one across his body, but you're not going to make a habit of doing that in the game a lot. But once you flush right, all you got to do is throw right. All the options is right. So if your receivers are running on the other side of the field, you are by yourself on an island with maybe one receiver down the field. So it was a good game plan. Mm-hmm. I give them credit. I think if we score on that first drive and Kelechi Osemele doesn't have the holding, which I thought was a garbage call, that would mean we would have scored four straight times to open the game. And I think that would have been something that would have brought the Raiders back to that old reality of crumbling in that situation, because you come into Arrowhead and you kept that Arrowhead 17,000 alive by scoring four straight times in the fashion that you were doing it. Yep. I don't know if there's another team that would have been able to survive that.
It would have been a different ball game for sure, but I think I've never been one to try to come up with excuses where if this would have happened, we would have won. And I get what you're saying, but I think at the end of the day, we have to realize that we lost.
Yeah.
We just lost. We just got beat, you know, and it happens. And I think from here, of course, you take what Sean Stradamus said. It's a learning. It's a lesson learned.
I thought we put that to bed last week.
I mean, so I wasn't here last week, so I didn't, I didn't know what was put to bed and what's still alive. But you know, I still, of course, I got to call
Sean plagiarized that.
Did he really? From who?
Thank you. You know what I'm saying? Like
he plagiarized it from Nostradanin. That's what he did.
I think we went to the text line, and text line had my back.
He just had his six kids text in. They all had the same 913 area code.
Oh man.
I got five kids. They didn't even send anything for me supporting me. Ain't that a shame? But I will say, we got the text line open, 913-576-7610. Text line and phone line is open. We got from the 816, Jonathan Abram, a true Raider and a main component of that team right now. I will say, that dude can play. We saw last year, he's a little reckless. He's kind of old school. He's trying to take people's heads off. Mm-hmm. Going to get fined a lot.
I like it.
You know, reminds me maybe of a younger Rodney Harrison. Mm-hmm. But he played a really good center field for them when they did drop, and he had center field as far as cover three, and we ran double posts and we ran some combos that he had to play in the middle to take away both and not jump a route. And he did a solid job. And he talked some trash, too, which I kind of like. He talked a lot of trash, not just some. He was on kickoff coverage.
Yep.
He was on defense. I think he was on other special teams. So, yeah, he's definitely a leader out there that you can tell. He's kind of like the honey badger of that defense right now. He's the catalyst.
Hey, I just hate this jersey. I mean, if it's one thing that I can dislike about him, personally, it's just his jersey.
The
big sleeves, it's terrible.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you look like Peyton Manning playing safety. Like,
you got to show the guns. Suns out, guns out.
Exactly. Well, why would you have something so loose? I'm pretty sure he can move around a little bit back there. So, yeah, man. Yes, he's a great player, and he's exactly who they thought he was, you know, when they brought him in the first round. And he's going to continue to get better and try to be somewhat of a mantis to this Chiefs team going in the future. So,
well, we come upon the end of the first quarter. I guess there's some breaking news out there we got to talk about, but I think I got a little different spin on it from guys that have been in the locker room, have seen free agents come and go, big names on the field with us and off. And there's some big news that we can accompany with that, but I want to hear you guys' perspective on just the influence, the newness of somebody coming in during the season. We'll talk about that next.
This is Players Only with Damon Hughes and Joe Mays on 610 Sports Radio.
And we're back. Second quarter, Players Only. We got Sean Barber, Joe Mays, and I am Damon Hughes in the house. Our second quarter is sponsored by our friends at U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit. Guys, there's some big news. We got the text line open, 913-576-7610. Before we get to that big news, we got Barbershop from the 660. Barbershop, he's almost into the Philip Rivers territory with his kids.
I think Philip got about 11, right?
I think he got like eight or nine. Yeah.
Oh, man. And him and his wife homeschool all of them.
All of them.
Well, I ain't homeschooling none of mine. So
don't have a patience,
huh? You said they just lucky they got a home. You allowed them in your home. That's what it is.
You got home. You got food.
No, man. I got some great kids at the house.
Oh, yeah.
I got Nico, Noah, Zara, Deacon, Xander, and Cade, my boys.
You had to close your eyes and think about it like that. You had to
if I forgot one, I would hear about it. So make sure I get all of them right.
Don't end up like Cromartie.
Oh, yeah, right?
That count on fingers.
Nah,
and remember.
I'm good. But now we can cut the Twitter back on, right? Now that Le'Veon is here, we shut Twitter down for the day so we could get the deal done, and now we can cut Twitter back on.
Yeah, that's how much power we got, man. Yeah. So, yeah, Le'Veon Bell is the big news, getting signed with the Chiefs. A huge addition.
Yeah.
And it's going to be talked about and analyzed, his production with the Jets. Is he over the hill, 8 years in, former second-round pick, you know, has done damage against the Chiefs, and now he joins the Chiefs. What can he bring to the table? But when I started to think about this, when all the whispers started coming about Le'Veon Bell after he got released, I started to think about my time in the locker room. Did we have superstars signed? The impact of those superstars, my experiences with superstars or free agents that are signed either in the offseason or during the season. And then I made it personal. I was like, okay, well, there was that guy signed at the wide receiver position. And how did that dynamic work?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know you guys, we chatted about this offline. But, yeah, I mean, the only person I could come up, I mean, we signed Leslie O'Neal, who was a great teammate, cool dude. Chester McLaughlin, who was a really good teammate, cool dude. We signed Andre Rison, Derek Alexander. We signed free agents that really blended. The only person that could come to my mind was my man out of Florida, wide receiver, Brett Perryman.
Mm.
Just didn't latch on. I mean, he was cool with a lot of dudes, but, you know, there was just a dynamic there.
Yeah.
If I see him today, we're cool. I give him a pound, hug, chat it up, whatever. But there just seemed to be something that wasn't, you know, the glue wasn't there like everybody else.
Right.
So from a player's perspective, you know, we got Le'Veon Bell coming in. you're going to hear all the politically correct answers and responses from Patrick to Clyde Edwards-Helaire and everybody else about embracing him. Yeah, he's part of the family now. Yep. But what's the real? Like, you know, you always wonder about the real, and I know the fans out there and the people in Chiefs Kingdom, because we got something great going on, a dynasty in the making, and now you got a little curveball thrown in.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, first of all, you realize you're a diva. It's like all wide receivers, y'all divas.
Oh my gosh.
It's like y'all taking somebody to come into the room. It's like, oh, he going to sit in my chair? He going to eat my food?
Don't make me put you on blast about what you went through and with the Redskins.
I'm about to explain that. Okay. I'm about to go right into the Redskins.
Because you ain't just going to be talking about me.
So these diva wide receivers always got issues with possessions and thinking somebody's coming in and taking their shine and stuff, because that's like the nature of the wide receiver position is they want the ball, throw me, Terrell Owens, throw me the ball and all that kind of stuff. On defense, we got a little bit more of a kumbaya. It's all about the 1 of 11 type mentality. Now, I was a part of a defense, went to the playoffs, myself, Kennard Lang, Sam Shade, D. Green, Daryl Green, and Champ Bailey. And between that year, we got beat in the playoffs, and they decided to come back, and they wanted to revamp the defense, so we brought in Bruce Smith. We brought in Deion Sanders. We brought in Mark Carrier. And those three guys were brought in because they had Hall of Fame status. They had playoffs.
Pedigree.
And their skills were thought that they could just come in one offseason and make this defense from a top 20 defense to a top 5. And they didn't realize that the camaraderie of being around each other and the love that we had for one another, that's what made that to 1998 defense so good and playoff worthy. And you can't just substitute and shuffle and shell game guys on the defensive side, because we do have that 1 of 11 mentality. All 11 guys got to be playing together for the defense to be effective. I just don't feel that same way about offense. I think if a running back has a certain skill set, can run, has patience, got explosion, quickness, got great hands, can block on the pass coverage, and I think Le'Veon checks all those boxes. I don't see how in an offensive side of the ball, because you don't have that same 1 of 11. You just got to go do your job and possess the ball, hold on to the ball, and when the ball's in your hand, you do what you do, Le'Veon Bell. And I think that Andy Reid and Bienemy are going to find a way for that guy to really showcase his skills at another level once he's here in Kansas City.
Now, I've been a part of teams where big name guys have come in mid season, and that's kind of it got kind of tricky and a little fishy. I mean, it wasn't necessarily a personal, like, you know, it was like a personal vendetta towards anyone, or you see guys talk about them in a bad way or anything, want to fight or anything like that. It's more so, well, this team doesn't believe in me.
Yeah.
In order for them to go out and bring someone in at my position, and then as soon as they bring them in, let them get first team reps over me. I've seen that happen plenty of times.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something where it kind of creates that rift in the locker room, whether it's a player just, you know, not really, you know, liking the organization for doing what they're doing towards that player, or just that player losing the confidence.
Yeah.
Because the coaches just all of a sudden don't believe in them and bring someone in to basically just – Change them right on out.
And you know what? Even adding to that, Joe, is you go through the draft. You make it through the draft. They didn't draft anybody. Or they did draft somebody, and he's already worked himself behind you on the depth chart. Mm-hmm. You go through free agency. They didn't really pick up anybody that was going to compete. Now all you've heard from OTAs, training camp, preseason, into the regular season is, we got a winning ball club. You guys are the winners. You guys go out there and do it. You guys put in the work. You guys are controlling your own destiny. And then you come in on a Monday or a Tuesday on your day off, and you see Joe, former Pro Bowl or whatever guy, working out.
You got fired on your day off.
Yeah, and now you come in, like, come you said, on Wednesday.
Man. Yeah,
on Wednesday, and somebody's on the depth chart, tied with you or getting reps, or hey, help this guy get indoctrinated into the offense. Help him with the lingo, blah, blah, blah. And like you said, he's my boy, he's my brother, there's no riff. But in the back of your mind as a player, you're like, dang, I done everything I could possibly do to secure my spot and help this team win. We ain't losing. We're not the Detroit Lions or the Buccaneers in the past that was 0-16. we just, you know, we're there. We're right there. Yeah. My teams, we were always right there.
Yeah.
As far as winning the AFC West and playing in the playoffs. So, yeah, I think that dynamic, and nobody's saying that Le'Veon Bell won't help this team. From the 913, a veteran helps running backs. Yes. 913, Bell wants prime time.
Of course. I mean, yeah.
Everybody wants some. You want some shine. Everybody wants shine. And if you have been there before, just like this Chiefs team at the Super Bowl, Le'Veon Bell and the perception that he wants prime time, and if somebody is downgrading him because of that, that would be like the same people downgrading the Chiefs because they want to go back to the Super Bowl. Yep. Like, you've tasted that. And now you're going to say, well, he wants that. Well, that, yeah, everybody wants that. You want a Super Bowl. You want Pro Bowls. You want those accolades. You want to still be on top of the mountain. To me, that's not an automatic. Now, if it creates dissension, or you got a guy like Le'Veon sitting on the bench because he's not going in the game, so he's not even going to stand up there by Andy Reid or talk to Eric Bieniemy. Now, that's a whole different dynamic. But just the fact that a star wants to – he wants to be amongst the constellation that will shine the most or allow him to shine the most. I don't think that's something negative.
And can we talk about what got Le'Veon to this point? Because the Le'Veon I remember that was running for the Pittsburgh Steelers was a guy that brung his lunch pail, did everything.
Yeah.
I mean, was overused, right? Was being, beat up by the amount of carries he was getting. Never complained about getting the ball and always was ready to answer the bell. And the only time it became an issue was when the franchise, right? The organization promised not to franchise him going into that next season because they already franchised him once.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that they could not do his long-term deal because they had to take care of Big Ben and Antonio Brown. So he played good soldier and stood and still came and played on that franchise tag with no protection,
yep.
Right? No long-term protection. And they still ran the mess out of him, right? Yep. Didn't worry about protecting him for the next contract.
Contract, yep.
And that's then true. Had the nerve to franchise him a second time. And that was the reason he decided to go ahead and say, all right, that's enough. Like I told you last year, I did not want to be franchised. And not only did you have the nerve to do it, but you're going to do it to me again? Like, yeah. I think that's where the trust between the organization and the player broke down. And when you don't have trust, you don't have anything, right?
Nope.
If you can't, yeah. If you don't trust that organization really has your best interest, it's no use you going out there with that black and yellow anymore because everything is lost at that point in time.
And then you go to an organization that although they give you a lot of money, they haven't garnered with Adam Gase, they hadn't garnered any trust built up for you building that team. Not making you basically a punching bag, getting tagged all over the place with no opportunity to really flourish there. So there's a rebuilding in Le'Veon Bell's mind right now. Mm-hmm. There's a resurgence, almost like what we saw with LeSean McCoy last year, where he could capitalize in this environment. And Andy Reid, there's probably no other coach that has more respect garnered amongst players across the league than Andy Reid. And that's why I think it'll be a solid move. All right, we're at halftime. Players only, Joe Mays, Danon Hughes, and our guest in studio. Are you still a guest?
I am always a guest.
Dang. All right. Well, we're going to change the locks on this guest to coming up.
Spot. I get a prime parking spot because I'm still a guest.
You parked in a handicap spot?
Man, go ahead, man.
Andy got the jacket, man. Come on.
He got a jacket on. He got a dress code up in here.
Man,
but we're at halftime now, players only. When we come back, everything's being shook up around the league with this COVID craziness, and schedules and routines are going by the wayside. I want to talk about some routines and how that can impact you as a player. We'll talk about that after halftime.
This is Players Only with Danon Hughes and Joe Mays on 610 Sports Radio.
And we're back. Halftime's over. Players Only in the building. For the third quarter, sponsored by our friends at U.S. Bank, whatever your passion. U.S. Bank, home mortgage, business loans, whatever you need, they are there to help turn it into your next pursuit. Guys, we are upon week 6 in the NFL,
yep.
And we got a lot of shakeup. A lot of shakeup that I think a lot of people were hoping would not happen, but you'd be crazy if you didn't expect it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Games moved. We got our third Monday night game, or I guess you can call this Monday late afternoon game, in now, which will be coming upon 6 weeks. The routines. I guess I can kick it off. I was back then for most of my career in high school and college, I was a very, very superstitious person. Very superstitious. Now, for many people that may not know, I am a huge baseball guy, and it's not uncommon for baseball guys to be very superstitious. You know, you got your same bat, your batting gloves, how you wear your socks, you know, your uniform. You know, if you wear a certain thing, you didn't strike out, so you wear it again. All that stuff manifested itself in basketball and baseball and football for me growing up. I don't know how I would have functioned. I'm sure that I would have made adjustments, but I don't know how I would have functioned knowing my routine was set. Like, I remember going into the locker room, Bud Epps, great trainer for the Chiefs, him and Dave Kendall. Bud taped my ankles every game, only Bud. Tape the right ankle first, not the left ankle. Don't touch the left ankle. Don't look at the left ankle. Just tape the right ankle. Right? Every single game of my career, the same kind of tape job, up to height on my calf, just the same height, everything uniform. And he touched my left ankle once. And I stopped. We had to stop the tape job. I walked out, took the tape off, walked back to my locker, restarted my whole game routine.
Threw everything off.
Put my music, rewinded my Discman back to the beginning.
Oh.
And went back in there. And I said, "What's up?" I said, "What's up, bud?" Like I had just seen him for the first time of the day. "What's up, bud? All right, go ahead. We'll go ahead, do your work." So the routines, I know, I mean, game week, game day, that's just a fun way, but you know, your game week routine is real. When you lift heavy, when you lift light, when you do more cardio, when you don't, and why. And then your game day, what you eat, and 12 o'clock noon games, what you going to eat. 6 o'clock games, what you going to eat. Monday night or on the road, what are you going to eat? These are all things. I don't know if y'all had the same mindset as me, but it almost got to the point where pregame or game week, the work I was doing to stay within my superstitions was harder than the preparation for the actual game or whoever we was playing.
Wow. You know what? Nah, I never really had any superstitions. I think that's more of like an offensive wide receiver, diva.
Again. I'm going to get Kevin Lockett or somebody in here to balance this whole offense, defense
thing
out.
Stop dating yourself, man.
This man.
This man. That was more than enough.
What y'all have? Barbershop, you ain't that much younger than me, so don't even try it.
iPods, dog. iPods.
iPod, phones.
You had a Walkman. Don't try it.
There you go.
With the disc kept skipping.
Shoot, I had to tape it to my side so it didn't bop around. Yeah,
oh, yeah. You know what? The only thing that I really had or I've done every single week on game day was go full body down in the cold tub.
On game day. Oh wow.
It was one of them things where all right, well, I gotta as a linebacker. As a guy that just loved to hit, I knew I needed to set the tempo week in, week out. I had to be the guy in the middle setting the tempo. And I knew that, you know, I was going to be throwing my body around. So, you know what? Let me make sure I go ahead and get that thing refreshed so I can be feeling good. So I would go ahead and dip all the way down in the cold tub and just sit there.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I never iced before games because I always thought it would make me tighten up. So it would always be about heat.
Yeah.
What about you, Shop?
See, that's Dana thinking again.
Uh-huh.
My office guy, they think they know so much.
I got to move. I got to run. I got y'all idiots trying to chase me down and tackle me. I got to run away.
My right pinky toe before you even move.
Don't touch the left foot. Bud, don't touch the left foot. Dave, don't touch the left foot.
I ain't never heard somebody be so extra about a tape job in my life.
Yeah, you trying to blame baseball.
Yeah, oh, because I play baseball, we have some.
Same pregame meal. Same pick up the newspaper. Same everything.
I understand the nutrients. I understand the meal part because, like, 4 hours before kickoff, I do the pasta, you know, 3 chicken breasts, have me some watermelon, have me some bananas, potassium.
Always you was thinking healthy.
Pickle juice. He was eating a lot, it sounds like.
Yeah. Eat a pickle juice. Because I burn it all off, you know, sit on the throne for a little bit, get it all out, call it a day. And then everything after that was just hydrate fluids. I was a, you know, very lean player, so I would go through, you know, always have to deal with cramps and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Pedialyte.
Pedialyte. I always had to deal with preparing my body for what I was going to deal with after the game, which was cramping and body cramps and all that kind of stuff. And so I knew it was a certain regimen, a little a certain routine I had to go through as far as my nutrition, hydration, and stuff to make sure I was ready to, play four quarters, five quarters.
Y'all was above me. Y'all was like Jack LaLanne compared to me.
Your Gatorade bottles was still glass probably, right?
Yeah, it was. I ain't even drink it. I drank. Let me tell you, you don't know my pregame, my morning meal before every practice and every game of my entire career.
What's that?
Two Hostess cupcakes.
Oh, Lord.
Whoa.
And a can of Sprite.
And a cigarette.
Camels. Nah, no camels.
That's them old school players smoking a cigarette in the locker room halftime.
Hey, man. Every morning on the way out, had a stock full in the pantry of Hostess cupcakes every day.
Oh, man.
Every day.
And a Sprite. And some Breakfast of Champions, you know what I mean?
But I ain't cramp up.
he eating cupcakes with superstitions. I mean, come on.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. That is
what about
funny.
Being favored and underdog? So we got the Chiefs going to Buffalo, and we are favored. Part of that is because the Buffalo Bills just got beat up by the Tennessee Titans. I guess when I think back on my career, anything that the coaches or any of those crazy players that are in the locker room, the Tim Grunhards, the loud guys, Greg Minuski, the screaming guys in the locker room, anything that they could bring up. They don't believe in us. They got us as underdogs. This is our house, blah, all that stuff. That's the only time I really thought of it. Like, I didn't believe in the bulletin board material. I already hated you as an opponent anyway. I didn't really need anything that I could read. Like, you kicked my dog. You said something about my mama. You know, you spit in my face. Like, I hate you for this 60 minutes.
Yep.
And afterwards, we go have a beer in the parking lot or whatever. But during these 60 minutes, I don't want to talk to you. I ain't helping you up. I don't care if you get hurt. They got to come get you. Just bring the next cat in. That was my mindset. But the whole underdog thing, where y'all sit with that?
I've never even read into being an underdog or being favorite in the game. Yeah, no. I think because I've been in way too many games where we lost to teams that we weren't supposed to lose to. And we surprisingly beat some teams when we were the inferior team. I mean, that has happened.
It happens.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's no reason to sit there and watch and see who the underdogs or what. Because, I mean, of course, you want a little bit more fuel to the fire, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, just being a professional football player and you know, being able to go out there and do what you dreamt of doing, that's more than enough. And then you add the bulletin board material, like you talked about earlier. That was something that I think we fed into. Because that right there, it affected us directly. It's them talking about us.
Yeah, them versus us.
Them versus us. We already knew it's them versus us, but them talking about us as if we can't hang with them or we can't beat them or we can't do certain things. I think I fed into that more than anything else.
Yeah, I didn't really keep track of spreads and stuff while I was playing in it. At the end of the day, you realize you're detailed in your job, and what you are assigned to do is such a minute type responsibility, attention to detail. Like me and Joe, we linebackers. We got to line up in the A-gap. We got an assignment. We got to follow the fullback. We got to be able to trace him back to the running back. We got to get that running back down. We don't have time to realize if we are 7-point underdog, 3-point underdog.
Well, that's during the game. I'm talking about pregame.
At the end of the day, line up in your gap. I don't care who the running back is, who the fullback is. I don't care what the offensive line is.
Two things can be true at once.
I still got to line up my A-gap, and anybody that's going to come see me in that A-gap, I'm going to have to feel my thunder.
That's why y'all blockheads at linebackers.
Yeah, I mean
because that's what y'all mindsets are.
But, he's not mentioning all the other things that go into our mind, too, like knowing where everybody's supposed to be on every single defensive call that's being called.
Yeah.
So that's something that we that always just,
or
have to
maybe
have,
he didn't know that.
Nah, he knew that. But you know, he wanted to kind of break things down for all the fans, all the listeners that's listening in. I mean, it's so many different things that went into us being a football player that we had to think about that we not necessarily think about during the game, but think about pregame.
So it was more reaction when it happened.
Yeah.
Like you don't got time. Like the TV does not give justice to the speed of the game unless you're on the field. And there's so many people, sponsors. The Chiefs do a great job in normal circumstances bringing sponsors and other people, supporters down on the field for pregame warm-up. And there's not one that I've ever met, mixed and mingled, took pictures with, hung out with, chatted, played golf with later down the road at different tournaments or charities or something like that, that said, oh, my gosh, these guys are bigger than I thought. They're faster. I don't know how you guys survived out there on the field because it's a different breed. But you don't have time to think about all that stuff.
Nah.
But that doesn't mean you don't think about that stuff. You might not think about it at 3rd-and-2 on the goal line. But you like to me, I thought about all of it before the game. Like I was already like I'm thinking about everything that's gonna piss me off more. Like how much pissivity can I get up to?
Yep.
To be able to go out on this field on this opening kickoff and try to take somebody's head
off. But being favored by 3, underdog by 6, favored by 10, did that make you more pissed off or not pissed off?
Yeah, because I think coaches use that.
Okay. Like for me,
coaches, it was little slick little comments. Like, you know, they're walking around the locker room. I can't believe this team has got us underdog. You know, I don't believe this. They think that this team gonna come in here and beat us in Arrowhead in our stadium, and then they go get some coffee. Like that, like I didn't hear that. Like, oh, you know what I mean? like we didn't hear that in the locker room. Like, you just going to walk by and make that mention just to piss me off even more?
Yeah, yeah. They said they was going to run all over us this week. Yeah.
But they said our receivers can't get open.
That's not an underdog thing, right?
That's not an underdog, but that's bulletin board material. That's something that it challenges you personally, each and every individual on the defense, if someone said they're going to run the ball over you.
What about, I mean, this is a new breed, though. And we got a little bit of time where we got a break in this third quarter, but in the fourth quarter, we're going to talk about the Chiefs-Bills matchup and, you know, this little stiff arm that happened last week.
Man.
That's how y'all used to get
some. It was so small. Yeah.
That's an underdog right there.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're different. Like, okay, yeah. Y'all call me older. I'm a different generation than y'all. Y'all are a different generation than this team. And knowing what we know and seeing how there's more camaraderie and stuff that goes on the field with this team, you know, like, do y'all think that these cats think like we think in regards to all this makeup to the game? Like, you know, getting to the game of kickoff, are a lot of these things that we're sharing about our experiences. Do you think this new generation has that kind of mindset on this stuff?
I think so. You know, and of course it's going to evolve and change and be different. I think every single generation has
something.
You know, they've left something alone in their locker room. And then it somehow, some way evolves and turns into something different for the next generation to come in and to kind of, you know, use that into their routine. So, yeah, it's some things that you know, we've done that they continue to do. But I think for the most part, it seems like they have a lot more fun and they go out there and there's no jealousy and guys just want to go out there and make plays and have fun.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how the Chiefs show up and how maybe these little twists and turns and changes of schedule affect them. So far, it has not, Andy, and everybody said the right things. And I think that's a cool thing because I know for me, it probably would have, you know, wrecked me a little bit, just my mindset. But
Diva.
Yeah, you know, a little bit. Anyway, we got the fourth quarter coming up. Players only, Barbershop in the building. Joe Mays, I'm Danon Hughes. This fourth quarter, we're going to talk about this Chiefs-Bills matchup. And then Josh Norman, rest in peace. We'll talk about that too.
This is Players Only with Danon Hughes and Joe Mays on 610 Sports Radio.
All right, we're back. Fourth quarter, Players Only. Joe Mays, Barbershop, Sean Barber, and I'm Danon Hughes. And before we get into this Chiefs-Bills matchup, I'm excited for myself. I'm excited to be named the 2020 Most Wanted honoree for Big Brothers Big Sisters. Over the next few months, I'll be raising as much money as I can for Big Brothers Big Sisters. If you'd like to support my campaign, text Hughes, that's H-U-G-H-E-S, to 44321 for a great cause at Big Brothers Big Sisters. Would love that support. But guys, we got a matchup this week, and we ran over in a few of the quarters in this game. Each quarter is sponsored by our friends at U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit. We got Chiefs going up to New York to face Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Thoughts?
You know what? I think every single team that I played on, whenever we traveled to Buffalo, it always ended up being a tough game.
I hate playing in Buffalo.
I don't know why. I think, I mean, of course you go up there in the winter, it's crazy cold, but it was just always a tough game. And the fans, they always come out and they show out and they make a ton of noise. But
Buffalo fans, they're not as bad as Raider fans, but they're right up there.
They're somewhere close.
They're very close.
Yeah,
people sleep on that because they're way out there in, what is it, Western New York? People don't realize they get ruthless.
Oh yeah, definitely. But you know, them playing against this Bills team, this is a good team now.
Yeah.
And this quarterback is playing really well, and he's leading this offense, and they're doing some things that a lot of people didn't really think that they would do. Of course, they lost this past week, so that's going to add a little fuel to the fire. But I think they're going to come out and they're going to play this team extremely well, and of course, it's going to be a difficult game. And, of course, I got to go with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a hard fought, a hard drawn out game. And the best man is going to win, and that's going to be the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think they match up kind of in the same way that the Raiders did, actually, with the instead of having Aguilar and Ruggs, they have Brown, and then Stephon Diggs was the free agent. They went out and acquired. Definitely deep threats. They got the deep threat speed, and they have a quarterback with an arm that can get it 67 yards downfield. So you got to play him top down. But he does, unfortunately, he's not as polished as his stats look. Josh Allen does stare down receivers a lot. Mm-hmm. He stares down to one side.
He got strong arm syndrome. His arm is so strong that he's gotten away with being able to stare down receivers and throw bullets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And on the NFL level, that can only work for so long.
Yeah, so he waits for his receivers to come open instead of reading the defense and taking what the defense is giving you, going through your read and your progression of from one to two, two to the check down. He'll stay with the one, 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 and waiting for that one to break away, and sometimes that allows the pressure to get to him, and it makes him get on his horse and escape the pocket. So, and we're facing some of that ourselves, right? With Pat Mahomes having to leave the pocket early.
Who Mahomes?
Patrick, my bad. Oh. His mom said,
"Don't get in
Patrick
trouble,
Mahomes."
Oh, he can't be called Pat.
Yeah, leaving the pocket a little bit early and having to abandon some of his reads. Going through his reads a little faster than possible. But the one thing I like about Pat, when you hear about him talk about it, when I hear about Patrick talking about it, he always talks about taking the onus and the responsibility. But when I hear Josh Allen, he doesn't really take the ownership of his mistakes. And so I like that as far as an opponent, because I think you can make him keep making those same mistakes, because he wants to blame everybody else for the interceptions and I mean throwing it into the flat against cover two, a rolled up corner, number 21 for the Titans.
Yeah.
He sat there in the zone. It wasn't man.
Malcolm Butler.
Yep. He sat there and looked, he threw it right to him.
Yeah.
So he can blame that on anybody he wants to. He can try to say the wide receiver ran the wrong route or read. No, you threw it right to the defender.
Yep.
But he hasn't developed, and he hasn't had the maturity or the confidence as a leader of the offense, I think, to accept some of that responsibility. So yeah, I'm looking forward to making them pay for that.
We'll get back on the right trail. I think the Chiefs will win this game. They're a better team, and now they got a jolt of reality with the Raiders coming in here. Hopefully they can rebound from Kelechi Osemele's injury. He was the dog on that offensive line. Yes. But players only, we will be back next week, and I believe it'll be after a Chiefs win.
This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Joe Mays on 610 Sports Radio.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
So, got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto Owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
When was the last time you thanked God for your healthcare? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.